What's up, podcast people and soundtrack geniuses around the world? You're listening to The Soundcast. And on this podcast, we talk all things film, television, and video game music. I'm Christopher Coleman, and joining me today is...
Kristen Romanelli.
And Dane Walker.
Today is Monday, June 3rd, 2019, and in this episode, we discuss the original score to Godzilla, King of the Monsters, by Bear McCreary.
You can find all episodes of the Soundcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Radio Public, and Google Podcasts. And you can send us your feedback by email to soundcast@tracksounds.com, or you can leave us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe widget, which you'll find on our site, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Audio Soundcast. Well, welcome back, Kristen Romanelli and Dane Walker. It's good to see you guys.
Thanks very much.
It's good to be here.
Good to hear you. Are you guys ready to talk about Godzilla? He's back.
He is back.
And he brought some of his friends.
I don't think those are his friends.
One friend and a few enemies.
Yes.
I think some of them are frenemies.
You think so? Okay. There was at least one friend. He had at least one friend. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see who might be a frenemy later. Well, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, is our topic for tonight. And let's set the stage before we dive into the film and Bear McCreary's score. The summary, plot summary, is members of the cryptozoological agency Monarch face off against a battery of God-sized monsters. Is that God-sized? Didn't know that. Including the mighty Godzilla, collides with Mothra, Rodan, and his ultimate nemesis, the three-headed King Ghidorah. When these ancient super species thought to be mere myths rise again, they all vie for supremacy, leaving humanity's very existence hanging in the balance. The film was directed by Michael Dougherty. It stars Vera Farmiga, Kyle Chandler, Millie Bobby Brown, Ken Watanabe, and Zhang Ziyi. It was released on Friday, May 31st, 2019. Man, the Rotten Tomato score has been dropping like a rock. It's now at 39% for the critics, 86% from verified users now. And Box Office Mojo says it's at $47 million. I believe that's as of yesterday in the U.S., $130 million worldwide or international. So $177 million total. The original score was by Bear McCreary, and it was released on May 24th. By Water Tower Music. All right, let's jump into Godzilla. So what's your history with kaiju? Kaiju go back for, 70 years or more? They've been around cinema, of course, starting in Japan. What has been your experience? Are you new to kaiju? Have you always loved kaiju? Do you hate kaiju, Dane?
My history with the kaiju begins with the ill-fated Ferris Bueller version.
Oh, right.
The Matthew Broderick version in the 90s.
Oh,
right.
Oh, that was your first.
Bueller. Oh, my gosh. Bueller. Wow. That was pretty crazy. You guys were not on top of that.
I was like, well, I blocked that film from my mind.
Wasn't that David Arnold?
Yeah, it was a great. I'm a King Kong guy. Like, that's my creature feature thing. So Godzilla, I was always just like, that's that weird black and white thing that shows up on TV and Mystery Science Theater makes fun of. So I never really was into Godzilla, and then it was like, oh, the guys from Independence Day and Stargate are gonna make it. It's gonna be awesome. And then I went and I was like, okay.
That was your reaction? You were excited
to
see
the guys from Independence Day.
Those guys made it.
I love Independence Day. I love Stargate. I love David Arnold. I thought this is gonna be magic. Okay, then. That was my
not so much.
Yeah. For me to understand it, I knew that there was a lot of history here. So I made sure, my daughter and I made sure we were early to our theater because they do a little a pre-video thing to help educate people before films like this. Mm-hmm. And they had a great little 15-minute explanation of the entire history of Godzilla. It was really good.
Oh, nice.
But I didn't know anything about it up until that.
Well, point of order, King Kong started out as black and white.
Yes, but King Kong is amazing as black and white King Kong, and also amazing when Peter Jackson does it. Not so amazing when it stars Jessica Lange. I disagree
with you. Was that my first King Kong? I think that was.
Probably.
Actually. I think it was. I don't think I saw the black and white one yet.
Oh, really? You've never seen the original?
No, I didn't think I don't think I'd seen it before. Seen it. Saw 1978 or 80, that one came out. Kristen, what's your kaiju history?
Just growing up with lots of monster movies, less of kaiju. I watched some old Godzilla movies growing up. Not seriously, kind of casually, but it's been one of those things that's always been there.
Always been in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. It's been mostly in my life as well. I've watched tons and tons, you know, and I really didn't realize how many kaiju films I watched as a kid until I thought about this question. I think I've seen almost all the Godzilla films at least once. Well, all of the old Godzilla films, King Kong films. I don't know if you guys ever saw the one with the two gargantuas. The green one and the brown one. Did you ever see those two? That one is just, I forget the name. It might just be called Battle of the Gargantuas or something. But they're like two monkey looking things, but they're like ugly, really ugly monkeys. and I remember seeing that one and just me and my friends playing Battle of the Gargantuans outside later. And one would be the green one, one would be the brown, and we fight. And that's all they did in the movie. At least that's all I remember. So, yeah, long history with Godzilla. You know, as a kid, you don't really know what you're watching. You just know big monster fight, and that's good enough for you. I used to watch Ultraman and Spectre Man and Johnny Sacco and his giant robot. All of those TV shows which used to come on. Loved them, watched them all the time. Do you guys watch Ultraman?
Are you watching the new Ultraman?
I watched a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I wasn't not thrilled with it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't thrilled with it. I really wanted to like it because I love Ultraman. But did it get better? Are you watching it?
I, like you, only watched like first two episodes.
Yeah, I just haven't heard anyone say anything to make me want to watch beyond that.
So what time were these shows on when we were kids?
Mornings, afternoons, after school type thing.
Okay. Yeah,
it's syndicated.
Yeah, my parents really limited TV when I was really little, so I didn't have opportunity to see
any Saturdays and stuff.
No, Saturdays were really limited. We got an hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was 30 minutes for me of Transformers and 30 minutes of whatever my sister picked. That was it.
Oh, an hour between the two of you.
No, 30 minutes each. So and then,
an hour between the two.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes. That's right. It wasn't an hour each. It was an hour between the two of it. Very good. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So we have varying degrees of experience with kaiju and those sorts of films. What about Pacific Rim? Did you guys watch that? Mm-hmm. The first one?
The movie?
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Good score.
Did you guys like it?
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Wow. Good score.
The second one bit the big Watusi, though. Did you see the second one?
I have not seen the second one.
Yeah, don't bother. Did you see it?
I think we have an episode on that, and I actually did kind of like it.
Oh, yeah, we did, and you did.
Awkward.
These things just evaporate these days. It's like, if it wasn't good, it's gone.
But I want to take this moment to have people recognize this is the level of my taste. Like, this is, you know.
Oh, I see. This is in your wheelhouse.
Like, I liked the second Pacific Rim. So we'll use that as a scale.
Yeah, that says something. That says something. Okay, that's a good setup. We'll get the payoff shortly. So before we talk about this Godzilla, King of the Monsters, we'll talk about the 2000, I think it was 14. Was it that long ago? 2014.
Yeah.
5 years ago, Godzilla. Do you guys like the Godzilla of 2014, Dane?
I did. I thought
a lot.
A lot more than I liked the one in the 90s.
Nah.
Okay.
But no, it was long. I mean, that was a long film. But I liked it. I remember when I got to the end, I thought this was really satisfying. Like, I really enjoyed it. There were parts of it I was just like, stop destroying things. I can't take it anymore. Like, it just kept going on and on and on, kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I liked it. I liked it. I didn't, I was very happy that I watched all of it. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, there were parts of it where I was like, interesting, you know, I watched it. This was, we were still in Boston at the time. So I think I watched it at night by myself, and I think I fell asleep. I had to restart it again the next night.
Oh, you're watching it on
at home. Yeah, I didn't go to the theater to see it. I fell asleep, and so I had to start it again the next night. And I remember thinking, do I really want to watch the whole thing? I was like, yes, I will. I must commit. So I did, and I was like, I'm glad I watched the whole thing. Like, I came away from it with a positive.
Okay, that makes more sense watching at home. I thought you were thinking that in the theater.
No. I didn't go to see it in the theater for sure. It was even I remember listening to reviews of it and thinking, yeah, I'm not wasting my money on that at the time.
Okay.
Was not a fan of the score.
Okay. What about you, Kristen? Godzilla 2014?
Well, it had...
Are you glad you watched the whole thing?
it had three problems, three main problems for me. First of all, it's called Godzilla, and we barely see Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. It never bothered anybody when it came to Jaws.
But Godzilla, part of the appeal of Godzilla is seeing Godzilla destroying a city. That's the iconic imagery. That's what I want. I want to see it tearing down to the facade of capitalism. No.
the facade of capitalism. Wow.
I also
totally
didn't,
thrown Dane off now.
Yeah. they wasted two of their best actors in the very beginning. Juliette Binoche and Bryan Cranston. Gone.
Correct.
Like, nothing to do with any of this.
Doesn't he come back? I forgot. Doesn't Bryan Cranston come back?
For what?
No,
he's gone.
Gone as he can be.
Okay.
He got slid on by a Muto.
And my third problem actually comes from this new film, in which they're continuing part of that universe, but there are things that are underdeveloped, and they're kind of assumed to have existed in this universe, but there's absolutely no understanding of why or how, or the entire basis for Monarch is so weak.
It's just because they love butterflies.
Is there a basis? I didn't know there was a basis.
I thought Bryan Cranston and Juliette Binoche worked for Monarch.
The lack of that basis, like the lack of the background for why this is here.
What you're saying is you're just supposed to assume that, that Monarch should be here, and its existence is normal. Yeah. Okay. All right. I got you.
It's like suddenly we have the Dharma Collective from Lost, but there's like absolutely no mythos given to us behind it.
Sure.
Why should
it's just there.
Yeah.
It's just there.
What is the significance of this? Why are they so important? So why do I even care that they care so much about Godzilla and want to be their pets?
Because they're capitalists.
No.
It's just a facade. It's just a facade, though. It's just a facade.
No, there's too much Chinese financing in this for that.
um, I was very disappointed, or pretty disappointed, by Godzilla, mostly because I loved the teaser so much, and all I wanted was a movie to live up to that teaser. Which
it was a really great teaser, and you know,
one of the best ever.
The trailer for the Godzilla in the 90s, that was a great trailer also.
I don't remember it at all. I don't remember that one at all. Yeah, I'll never forget that teaser. I was just like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. The music, everything, married. Interesting they used that shot in this movie, but just from way far, far, far away, which I thought, oh, very cool. But I was very disappointed by it overall, and very bored, mostly. which, you know, I get bored easily these days. So what about...
That was 5 years ago.
I got those days too. did you guys watch Kong? I put Skull Island, but I think I meant Skull Island. It's a crossover with Tom Hanks and King Kong and Kong's Skull Island. It was Tom Hanks with a plane and a volleyball on the island with King Kong.
And that was next Files episode.
There is that handprint on the side of the mountain, right? Remember that? Yeah. It's Kong's handprint.
That was...
So it is.
Kong's real name is Wilson.
That's right.
Kong Wilson. His last name is Wilson. Did you guys see that film?
I saw it, and I do not remember a thing about it, which...
Did you see
it? I feel like I enjoyed it at the time. Like, it was just kind of fluff. Like, it was there, and Tom Hiddleston's nice to look at.
We see what's going on.
The only thing memorable, only thing I remember is John C. Reilly's character, who was really was hilarious.
I forgot that he was in this. So yeah,
everyone else was disposable. Everyone else was terrible, including Mace Windu. And I can't remember his name right now.
Samuel Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, even he wasn't great.
I forgot that he was in it.
They call him Mr. Glass. What's going on?
Did you see it? You have not seen it.
I have not seen Skull Island. I really wanted to see it at the time. I didn't have time to go out and see it. I read all the reviews about it. I know the story, and I listened to the score thanks to Eric Woods and his Cinematic Sound Radio. And I liked the score.
It's a decent score.
I need to see it because, again, Kong is my creature. I like King Kong.
He's supposed to be your dude.
Yeah. And I'm worried he's going down in 2020. I'm very worried about what's going to happen in Godzilla versus Kong, or Kong versus Godzilla, or however they're going to phrase it.
What I remembered most about Kong Skull Island was actually the post credits, where they teased the MonsterVerse and they teased doing a Hollow Earth sort of.
Yeah.
Thing,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which
wasn't that carries, in the end credits?
It was after the end credits. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was cool. I was excited by that, and that's the thing I remember most about this movie.
All right, with that as a preface, let us give our general non-spoiler reaction to this film, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Dane, how'd you feel about this film?
I really thought this film was an enjoyable creature feature. I wasn't looking for anything more from it than that, so I wasn't disappointed, I guess. I prefer this one to the 2014 one, for sure. Mm. It only because it was more spectacle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot more spectacle.
And there was a lot more mythos to it. With the exception of Monarch, who clearly cannot be mythological. I really enjoyed it for what it was. I really liked Mothra. My daughter went, it was her first creature feature, and she's hooked now. Now she wants to watch all of them. So, of course, now we're going to have to do Kong Skull Island. We'll have to do Godzilla. I hope she gets into doing what I did today, which was go back and on YouTube and watch clips from the other ones and gets into the history of it. I thought the family drama in the middle was a welcome emotional connection, but it did not get to Amblin territory. My theater was awesome as usual. It's a good experience. I liked it.
I was going to fill that blank in for you. I'm sure it sounded perfect and everything was great and so many interesting things before the movie started and great sound. Yada, yada, yada.
Sorry. I love my theater. It's a part of my family now.
I'm just going to take an edit of one of your previous times saying that and just cut it in and you won't even have to say it. Just drop it right in.
That'd be perfect.
What was your general reaction, Kristen?
So they did something on The Bachelorette and they're going into the Jane Pickens Theater, which is a historic theater in Newport. Anyway. My reaction is so dumb.
That's your reaction is so dumb?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
The visuals were incredible. The script is crap. The villains had terrible motives. It somehow simultaneously had too much and too little exposition. Like they had exposition on the wrong things. Mm-hmm. It's like they assumed we know who certain people are, even though the only people we've really been introduced to are Ken Watanabe and what's her face from the fish movie.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Sally Hawkins. So that really took me out of things. The only character I really felt something for was Mothra. So
agreed.
Yeah. Also
100%.
My theater, I don't know if it was the theater. This was a different theater than I was normally at, but it was still an AMC theater. I couldn't hear any of the score. Mm-hmm. It was like the mix was all like rumble, rumble, scream, crash. And it was all sound effects. And I couldn't hear any of the nuances of McCreary's score, which was so frustrating. And like I was in there. I was like, I'm sure there is a score under here, but I can't tell. And when I listened to it afterward, because I didn't get the score until after I saw it, I was like, this is beautiful music. Where was this in the movie? It wasn't anywhere. Like there's stuff that was brand new to me because it was all mess, which is so disappointing. Anyway,
yeah, I'm mad. I think you're going to get madder later. I tend to agree with your estimation of the film. I was, for as much spectacle as there was, I found myself kind of bored. I did doze off for about 10 minutes. I didn't make it through without. And once we hit the second act, when all of the initial, action is over, I was out.
So you're saying it's a twosie film?
A twosie?
Well, we decided four Z's was a 20 minute. Yeah. So you're saying this was a twosie?
It was a twosier. Yeah, it was a twosier. I wish all of the people I cared about, no one, not a single character, very similar to 2014. I cared about Bryan Cranston. Who's Alan Cranston? Is he the guy in Jurassic Park? Is that his name? Alan, is it Alan Cranston?
I don't think it's Cranston.
Samuel character? Alan something. It's Alan something. Who's Alan Cranston? Anyway, Bryan Cranston's character I cared about in Godzilla for half an hour. And then I cared about no one. And this one I cared about no one from the jump. unfortunately, and they never drew me in because characters did stupid stuff.
It takes a lot for me to not be into Charles Dance or Vera Farmiga or Kyle Chandler or Bradley Whitford. Like these are really great actors and character actors, and I got nothing from it.
And I like Millie Bobby Brown. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing stupid things? How are you doing these things that you're doing? You don't know how to do this stuff. And she just does them. So that made me not like some of them. And so without those characters, I was hoping that the monsters themselves would be given a little more character.
We could see them this time.
We could see them, which was nice. But aside from Mothra, no one really had much character. I mean, Ghidorah was bad. Godzilla was who Godzilla is all the time. And Mothra was different. Rodan was, they didn't really give any of these monsters much character. And so I really didn't care too much about them. Although, and I'll ask you about the huge mammoth thing. I don't know what that is. But that looked really cool, and I wish he could have done something.
There was also a thing that looked like Cloverfield, but that's a different studio, so couldn't
remember. Yeah.
But it looked like
Cloverfield. It was like a big spider, right? It was a giant spider, wasn't it?
Wasn't there one of those creatures that Kong supposedly fights on Skull Island?
Muto.
Okay.
Mm. There was a Muto, which was from the first Godzilla. It was one of those. But the mammoth thing, I was like, what's that? That's the coolest thing out there. He didn't do anything. So
Rodan's a friend of me, by the way.
Oh, Rodan's a friend of me? But he fought Mothra. I guess we're in spoilers. But
in the original series, Rodan becomes his friend.
At the very end, he's one of the creatures that is like...
Oh, he bowed.
Bows.
He bowed. It's right. Okay, yeah.
Spoilers.
I know people are going to be like, why you ruined Godzilla, King of Monsters? So
guess
I was
what, everybody? He's the King of Monsters.
And the details of the film are just like, every night that I go to bed, I lose 50% more of the movie.
It's like Thanos is snapping his fingers and
I just don't remember anything. And it's just in one and out the other. So I was very disappointed and I just wanted the movie to end. I was like, can it just be over already? Because unlike you, I was not happy that I watched the whole thing. I was like, this just needs to end. And eventually it did. Okay. You going to say something, Dane?
No, somebody kind of risking the spoilery discussion, so I'll refrain. Okay,
we'll get there in a second. Let's react to the score. Before we do that, Dane, you kind of talked about Alexander Desplat's score for the first one, that you weren't a big fan of it. Kristen, were you much of a fan of that score?
I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
I went back to listen to it yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to kind of put this one in context. And I was going to go back and listen to Kong really quick just because I wanted to see if Bear quoted anything like related to Monarch or something. Did he have anything in there? I didn't get time to do that. I literally just kept skipping through Desplat's score. It's like same. Every track is the same.
Yeah. I did the same today, and it feels so lightweight now compared to, I mean, it's so, at the time I didn't think it was thin, but after listening to the King of Monsters several times, it's like, man, I mean, the occasional brass blast, but over his typical minimal little loops and things that he always, it's a whole different. So I've never been a big fan myself. I know a lot of people love that score, but I'll be interested to see if those who loved Desplat, if they also love this one. So let's react to Bear McCreary's score. Kristen, what was your reaction to the music here?
When I actually heard it, I actually quite liked it. It's just so damn buried. I loved all of the Ifukube. Is that how you say it? Material. He did a great job with that. He took the themes from Mothra and from Godzilla, and then he made similar sounding but new themes for Rodan and Ghidorah, and I thought those were really cool. I thought his use of those and building the story with those motifs was very nice, and I'm so frustrated that you couldn't hear it in the theater because the music was such an important part of the old movies. And in all of the press and interviews leading up to this, they're like, oh, we're really big fans of the original movies and the original music, and the director knows so much about Godzilla. There was like this whole interview thing beforehand about how he's such a Godzilla fanboy, and then you can't hear any of this, and I'm mad.
I know, but can we take a minute? Can we realize that's not on? I don't think that's on the production house. I think that's on the theaters, because if my theater's great, then I think these other theaters are screwing it up. And Christopher Nolan has said as much, that the prints go out. I don't think it's, I literally think people do not go in and retune their systems for the film. They don't go in and do it. They just run it.
Oh, sure.
And so the end of that is that, you know, you have different films coming in with different settings and they're never going in and double checking it. And that was the whole point of a projectionist in the day, was to go in there and make sure everything comes out good. So, I mean, I can tell you from my experience, the score was fantastic in the theater. I mean,
okay, so this might be an AMC problem.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that if I was making a movie and I had, you know, a tent pole film, no way am I sending a printout that sounds like crap. So I don't think that that's on the production now. I think these theaters are screwing it all up. That's my personal take on all of that.
And there's no theater. I go to Regal Theaters, I go to AMC, I go to Cinemark, and none of them for movies like this. No. Sound good. They just never
how
do.
How did Endgame sound?
Endgame was good. Have been a Regal that I went to, not AMC.
Oh, okay. This one I was at a Cinemark. Endgame, I saw Endgame twice. I saw once in IMAX, and it was fantastic there, of course,
right,
as IMAX tends to be. They were both doable.
Okay.
But this one has so much. It's so loud.
Right.
So many sound effects. I found it interesting that they picked such an aggressive score to go with such an aggressively sound designed film. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But to me, I think that's the perfect thing. Like, if Bear wants anybody to notice him, he's got to be just as loud. You know what I mean?
But you got all that going at once. It's just a big cacophony of noise.
Okay.
Great use of cacophony.
I mean, I will tell you, every time Godzilla showed up and you got that bum, 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 I was like, yeah.
I couldn't hear it.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I heard it so much so that when I left the theater, I was singing it. I was psyched about it. I was like, that was killer.
God damn it.
But I just think it's unfair to blame the production house.
Oh, I don't blame them. I blame the theater.
Okay, good. Good.
I blame the theaters. I mean, because at least with back in the day with THX, when that was around, they had to,
it had to be
meet
tuned
a certain standard, or you weren't going to be THX certified. Apparently, that is not a thing anymore. I can't tell you the last time I saw a film that was in THX. But I assume some of these other high fidelity form, you know, the Dolby Atmos and all that, I would assume those all have to be tuned. I didn't see this in Atmos, but those usually sound pretty good whenever I get to see a movie. And usually AMC has Dolby Atmos, not all of them, but they'll have one screen that has Dolby Atmos.
Yeah, this wasn't at the Atmos theater for me.
Yeah. So, I listened to the score before I saw the film, so that helped a lot because I was able to pick up some things that if it was my first time hearing it in the theater, I would have completely missed it. So that helped me. But I found myself more distracted by what I like that he did this, but I was distracted by it in a weird way. And maybe that was because I listened to it first. But the vocals that he employed, not all of them, but the male Japanese chorus.
The monks?
For which?
No, not the monks. The other ones. The monks, you know, the Buddhist monks monks.
The taiko?
But the taiko drummers. And then you had like the samurai.
Those guys?
Yeah,
those guys.
The drummers were the chanters for that.
Oh. When I saw them, they didn't do it simultaneously, obviously. They had the taiko people, and then they did the vocals, because I saw the vocals recorded, and they were just standing there, no taikos.
I'm just going off of what was said in interviews.
Interesting. I mean, there's a video on YouTube that shows the making of, and it shows all, like, I don't know, 7-8 guys, and they're all being recorded doing those vocals, but there's no taiko drums. So maybe they did the taikos, and then they recorded them doing that.
Okay.
Maybe. But it reminds me of The Last Samurai. Every time I hear them do their little chant, I'm like, oh, Last Samurai, every single time. So that's very distracting. But I like that he did it, and I liked his use of the Buddhist monks.
I really liked the monks.
Yeah, very ethereal vibe to the whole
thing.
It was
like hypnotic. Yeah.
So I liked that. I just found myself oddly distracted at times because of it. I definitely prefer it to Alexander Desplat's score for the last one. All right, let's hit a few. We got a lot of tracks in common. So let's talk about a few of our favorite or our standout tracks from the original score. I think we all have the main title, the Godzilla main title, which obviously is a restatement of, or a statement of Akira Ifukube's original theme. A very faithful rendition of it, a little bit faster tempo,
a little bigger.
Very retro.
Yeah, no one would write a theme like that today.
No.
And the time signature is like, what is that?
Right.
It had the march too.
I couldn't figure it out. I was trying my heart, and I'm not good at that. But do you know?
No, I was trying today too. You know, I think Bear did such a great job because I didn't know about these themes, and I was like, well, let's see how much, you know, he really did. And I went back and listened through and found like the Mothra song and you know all of that. And so I was watching. I think it's Akira conduct his own work. And I was like, what time signature is this? Oh, it's not. Oh, no, it's not that. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I could have spent more time with it, but it was like, is that in that? No, I think it's 7. No, it's not 7. No, it's not. I don't know. I gave up.
Yeah, it was very frustrating. So kudos for nailing the impossible time signature. Any other thoughts about the main title?
I just love that it's just big.
Yeah.
You know, it's just big. I mean, he just like, Bear's like, all right, it's going to be big.
It's big. It's unapologetically retro.
Yeah,
it's great.
It just, the whole score itself, but he sets the pace right with the main title, is just exotic. Like, you know, you're going to experience something exotic, and that this creature is from ancient time.
And that's a feeling you don't get from Desplat's score.
Correct.
You really don't get that vibe from it. Dane, what's one of the tracks that you found as a standout?
I really liked Welcome to Monarch. Just good, brassy, big, you know, Welcome to Monarch. To me, it implies mythos, but to Kristen, it does not. So we'll leave that as it is.
It's a very militaristic piece.
Yeah.
You know, it feels almost like it could come out of a Marvel movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's a very different vibe from the rest of the film, which I put it down too as a standout because there's nothing else that really. I think they quote some of the thematic parts of it later, but they don't perform it like this.
Right.
Again, which I thought that was kind of cool. Kristen, give us one that you found as a standout.
Rise of Ghidorah. Which features the monks that we we mentioned before. I think that really set the tone for this big adversary that, you know,
yeah,
these monsters are going to face off. So it had to be just as big as Godzilla would be.
Yeah.
So I quite enjoyed that.
No, it's cool. It's cool because you have, I mean, you have Godzilla and he has his theme and it's big and mm-hmm. audacious, and you got all of these huge monsters who are going to need their own themes, but yet they can't be the same. Mm-hmm. They can't be constructed on the same, as otherwise it just all becomes noise. So bringing those Buddhist monks in there made Ghidorah very distinctive as soon as his music was around.
It's commanding in a different way. It's not, you know, the brawn, but it's kind of like this more mysterious kind of threatening mm-hmm. sound mm-hmm. that you get out of it.
Yep.
Yeah, it really also connected it to that that moment where she's explaining him, you know, with the mm-hmm. the pictures of the Asian pictures of the dragon and so forth. That all kind of came together very nicely with the monks and the all of that sound. It really made that feel right. Yeah, for sure. Now, I have to tell you, I have one complaint, which is that every time I hear Ghidorah, all I can think is, shake, 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 Ghidorah. Shake your body now. I don't know why. It's been driving me nuts.
I can't help you there.
I don't think anyone can. I think I need serious help, though.
Okay, I believe you.
Another one is Outpost 32. Mm-hmm. I think did someone else put that one? No, you didn't. One of the longer pieces on the soundtrack. It's one of the best in my opinion. It has a lot of time to build, mm-hmm. And I tend to like longer pieces like that. You almost put it down, Kristen.
Yeah,
but you didn't.
Well, I saw that you had.
Oh, okay. What was your why did you like it?
I liked it because it was kind of like a nice setting piece. Hmm. Instead of being a character piece that kind of told story, it was a good setup for a location.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Dane, give us another one.
My absolute favorite on this album is Rodan.
Mm, really?
Yeah. Oh, my word.
So much fun.
Oh, yeah. The groove in that and the way, you know, that whole piece just builds and builds and then gets to that, like, rocking groove. I was like, check that out. It was so... I love it. I love it.
And it's, like, right in place with all the other themes.
Mm.
Like, it belongs.
Let's see. Give us another one, Kristen.
Queen of the Monsters.
Yeah. I had that as well.
Mothra. Yeah. I think it incorporates the march that is used in the Ifukube. But some of it is McCreary and some of it is, I think, the B part of the Godzilla theme from the original. Mm-hmm. And he does something beautiful with it. Like, he makes it very elegant.
Yes.
And this might be why I was so drawn to Mothra out of all of the characters, both human and kaiju in the movie. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, I think this, it is my favorite part of the soundtrack for me.
Yeah, I would agree. It's mine as well. Just the contrast of having mm-hmm. the female vocals. Mm-hmm. It's really soft and melodic and beautiful, and it's just such a great contrast after you've been bashed with brass and percussion.
Yeah,
and
male everything vocals. Else is so muscular.
Yeah, and then she comes in, she floats in, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Mothra.
Yeah, I wonder if there was an emotional connection to her because you see her born and then you see her.
That may be part of it.
You know,
she was just She was just nice. Yeah. She was nice. She was a nice monster.
She runs away and hides in a waterfall. Yeah. I can relate.
Although I have to say, like, I don't care how peaceful you play it. Anything with those little creepy legs, like, that's not fun.
she had to have something to fight Rodan. Yeah, I agree. I really like that. I like Mothra's song. I like that ending the soundtrack as well. I think it's a nice note to end the whole soundtrack on. Speaking of, did you guys like the song, the Godzilla song that he built on the Blue Oyster Cult? Was that in the film? Was it over the end credits?
Yeah.
Because I busted the heck out of there. I was gone as soon as it was over.
You left. You missed.
Oh, spoilers, huh?
Missed the sting.
I figured there would be, but I didn't care.
When I first heard the song, I really liked it. I cannot stand when a group says a verse and then repeats the verse and then repeats the same. It's like, come on, write some poetry, you know? So when he says, what's his line? History shows that again and again, nature da 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 da, a man. And then he goes, history shows again and again. And you're like, come on, come up with something else. Like, get somewhere else with that. When I first heard it, I thought, this is cool. And then I was like, stop it.
I felt like it didn't depart enough from the Blue Oyster Cult. I mean, it's just the Blue Oyster Cult with, you know, System of a Down plus Tycho.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. Kristen, give us one more.
Goodbye, old friend.
Yes.
Which, crazy part of the movie, but
yeah,
I thought Ken Watanabe was one of the stronger characters. Like, every time he was on the screen, I was interested in him. That's my personal take. I know it's not represented by everyone else at the table here, but I just wanted to say
his motivations are so crazy that I can appreciate him as a character.
Maybe his motivations was not his actions, because that made no sense. Made no sense.
He had plenty of time to get out of there.
No. Yeah. And
it's an opportunity to be like, Hollow Earth again.
I mean, I guess we're in spoilers since we did in the standout tracks. We usually are in the spoiler section, even though I didn't say it officially. So that was, you know, I was already kind of checked out. But then when he did what he did, when he sacrificed himself, if that was radiation down there, you don't take off your helmet and stuff.
He knew he was gone. He wanted to see the monster with his own eyes.
Come on, you've seen Volcano, where the guy throws the lady and then melts.
Little Eskimo nuzzles.
Eskimo nuzzles.
I'm just like, wrong come temperature. On, especially because I'm watching Chernobyl and I'm like, no, you don't take anything off in radiation. You just don't do it.
Well, he could have. What we didn't see was all of the beginnings of the warts and everything, you know, and like the distortions.
He knew he was a goner.
Yeah, it just, I don't know.
He was like, I'm never going to be this close again.
The radiation mutates him into another kaiju.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That was the sting at the end that you missed, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you can tell me. I assumed it was going to be a Kong versus Godzilla sting.
Is, but not.
Are there any other points you'd like to bring up about the film before we wrap this up?
There were so many great tracks on this album. Rebirth, Fog Over Fenway, Battle in Boston, King. I mean, they're just, the more I listen to it, the more I love it more and more. And I find myself bopping my head, you know?
Mm.
It's great. I think it might be one of Bear's best.
It's solid. It is. I would have to be very choosy about the tracks. I couldn't listen to it straight through. I wouldn't put it
above Cloverfield Lane or Battlestar. Oh,
wow. That's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Oof. Is it above Cloverfield Lane?
Cloverfield Lane is so good.
It is. Oof.
That blaster beam, man.
Exactly.
It's up there, though, for sure. It's up. It would just, I can't listen to it straight through it. My ears would be bruised by the end.
But okay. Question. Could you listen to Duplat there straight through?
No.
Okay.
I never have.
Right. As have I never have done either.
I mean, I could, but I would be bored.
Right. And this one, could you listen to this all the way through at least once?
I have done that.
Right.
But I don't ever think I will again, but
okay.
I have
done it 4 times now.
Wow.
And I like it. Yeah.
It's good. It is solid work. and I sincerely hope this gets some more A-list jobs.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
It's kind of funny. A couple of months ago when we were getting ready to move, I was going through some old papers in the studio and I came across this article that said, the up and coming, composers, and it listed, I think it was 12 different people. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it and I remember keeping it to, you know, go through their careers and see if it, Bear and Austin Wintry are the only people on the list that are still like plugging away.
Really?
At an improved level. Now the other ones are still working. It's gotta be since 2009. It's gotta be 10 years old.
Wow.
They're the only ones working at definitely reaching that level doing. The other ones are working, but they're not like, can't sit back and be like, oh, okay. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Interesting.
I have to go back and remember it again, but I remember looking at it and being like, oh my goodness, only 2 of them have ever really
Curry had a hell of a break. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
Battlestar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's been very busy right out of USC many years.
Battlestar.
Yeah, he's been super busy for years and years and years.
He also had that connection to Elmer Bernstein, right? So that got him that big break. So yeah, he had everything. He had parents that believed in him. He had the connection to Elmer.
Yeah, but parents, never tell your children what are you really going to study, because music is legit, okay?
But he's just I just think, and I'm not trying to say by saying all of those things that he's just privileged. That's not what I meant by that, but just to say that he has the talent to back that up too, right? Yeah. Like he got all those opportunities and he's still
he had
just
things that fell into place in a really really fortuitous way, and it's been great for him. And I would really like to see him get more high profile projects.
I agree with you. I feel like every time I listen to his music, I feel like he's filling a hole that's missing, right? Like he's filling that there's like, he always finds a way to put out something. I'm like, oh, that's the kind of scoring I'm missing. You know what I mean? Like every time I hear it, you're like, oh, putting the laser beam in Cloverfield Lane. Like, oh,
well,
where's that been for the last 15 years?
I was about to say, he's kind of like Jerry Goldsmith, in which he will elevate what he's scoring. Mm-hmm. Even if what he's scoring is complete dreck, like the Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh my gosh, that score is amazing.
which is a terrible movie.
I know, I haven't seen
and
it.
An
it
amazing is. Score.
Well, what about what was that
Goldsmith had so many of those.
What was that heavy metal movie that with like Peter Dinklage in it, and it's all the people that go out and pretend they're wizards or whatever, and then actually a succubus really shows up?
Yeah, I don't know the title, but I know what you're talking
about.
But
that score was fantastic too. It was like this movie is completely, this was like B minus, probably C plus film, and the Bear's like taking it to another level.
Yeah, he legitimately will turn whatever he gets, and he'll turn it up to 11. He'll score the best version of what he imagines this could be.
Sure.
And I will not watch Child's Play, but
I will.
But, well, see, you don't have children in your house that have dolls. That's a very frightening thing.
Well, here's the thing. I grew up with a, I had a doll named Pamela, and Pamela was a talking doll. You could turn it on, you could put it in a cartridge, and she would talk about her day at
the beach. Was she the girl version of Teddy Roebuck?
Kind of.
Teddy Ruxpin,
That guy.
Yeah.
That was Roebuck.
But the thing is, you would turn off Pamela, but she wouldn't stop talking. There was like a circuit or something that was still connected in there, and she would keep talking.
I'm still talking to you.
I like shoved her in my closet. I was so freaked out by her. In the closet.
I would have shoved her out into the garbage.
Well, my parents eventually did that because I was so freaked out by this creepy, creepy doll that kept on talking. So,
well,
but I will still go see Child's Play.
But my point being that I will definitely listen to Bear's score for Child's Play.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know, because I think it's going to be amazing.
But nothing is as scary as Teddy Roebuck.
I don't even know where I came up with that.
That's Sears's brother.
Sears, yeah.
His brother.
Well, or Teddy. It's Daddy Warbucks. Who was Aunt Little Orphan Annie? What was his name?
Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks. It's Teddy War. That's how I got him confused. That's totally how I got him confused. I knew it was an R. Whatever.
Like, Teddy Roebuck. Who's that? funny. All right, I think that's gonna do it. If we've gotten to Teddy Roebuck, we've finished with Godzilla King of Monsters.
I did have a quick question for you guys.
Okay.
Do you think this full scope Monsterverse is they're actually gonna stick through it? Because I know they have
one more movie.
No, they're trying to build a Monsterverse. They've like
more.
They're looking to go beyond Godzilla versus Kong. Do you think that will actually develop?
If they cross over and bring the Pacific Rim guys back, bring Del Toro back, I'm in. I'm in for a crossover with Pacific Rim.
But is the Pacific Rim in this universe?
It could be. It's all Legendary Pictures.
They could do it. That's interesting. But it's not all WB, is it?
I would love to see. I'm not sure. It's definitely Legendary. They're both Legendary.
Yeah.
You bring Del Toro back and I'm on board, especially if you get the big woolly mammoth monster involved. I want to see that dude do something.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But I don't know. I mean, if it's just these guys, if it's just these monsters, what are you going to do? I mean, I guess there are a whole bunch of monsters yet. They've not brought into the mix. So
I'd be down for a Rodan movie.
So I guess the question I have is, if they're going to do a monster verse, and since you guys are more versed in the monsters, what other monster could they bring that would be an attraction? You got Kong. That's obvious. King Kong's been around for years. You got Godzilla. Like that's obvious. Well, who would replace him?
Those are the two biggest. Okay. There's tons of like, who?
The mammoth.
The mammoth. I don't know who that is, but I love him. What was the name of the bionic Godzilla? It was like a robot Godzilla.
Mega Godzilla.
There's him. There's little Godzilla baby. They could do baby.
No, please no.
Godzilla baby's awesome. He got killed, but
it would be his little smoke rings.
Who?
His little smoke rings. He's blowing smoke rings.
The Godzilla baby. They could have King Kong, son of King Kong versus Godzilla baby. I don't know, to be honest. I think they need to give up on these verses.
I think they should end with Godzilla versus Kong.
But,
like the Dark Universe, just let it
one and done.
Let it go away.
The smallest universe ever. That never had a chance. This, it had a chance. If
this
Kong
could be
was better.
If they should do away with Versus and just do regular franchise.
That's franchise, what it is.
Just like, you know, a couple movies, we'll call it a franchise. We don't have to make it a MonsterVerse and try to make it into something even more enormous, because you hear verse added onto something and you get the whole Marvel context now, where you have a decade of a bajillion movies that are interconnected. Yeah. And that's really rare if you can pull it off.
This is good enough. Just, you know, if you want to continue making Godzilla movies, go ahead.
We don't call it the James Bond verse. It's just a franchise.
They tried. They were going to make, what's Halle Berry's character? They were going to spin her off and they decided not to.
Hmm.
Remember her? I remember what her character was.
Hmm.
Fox? No. For Slot? I can't remember what her name was. Anyway.
Teddy Robux.
Teddy Robux. I'd love to see the Teddy Robux verse. Yeah. If it makes money, enough money, I think they will. I mean, that'll mean Godzilla vs. King Kong or Kong would have to do really, really well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well it's going to do. To me, this feels like the big one. Like, you build up to this.
Yeah, where you have sort of a rivalry and a multi-monster
match. And you end with Godzilla being the king of the monsters.
No, King Kong.
There's no way, bro. There's no way. He's got to be really smart or something. He's got to like just attack him from behind. He's got to be stealth King Kong or something. I don't know. But I'm not super excited about that. I'm like, what can you do? Are they going to fight multiple times? Or are they going to be? I think you're right, though. I think you brought up, I think what you've surmised on the head of Ghidorah. They're going to clone him, and then King Kong and Godzilla will fight him.
They're going to blow up Yankee Stadium next.
All right, Dane, how can people find and follow you?
You can find and follow me at Maestro Dane on Twitter. You can look up my name, Dane Walker, add music to it. You can find me on the internet. You can find me on Spotify at Maestro Dane. You can find me on Letterboxd as at Maestro Dane. We haven't been doing some Letterboxd.
That's true. Letterboxd.
Yeah, isn't that
Letterboxd?
It's just Letterboxd.
Oh, I call it Letterboxd.
It's also Teddy Robuxd.
What the heck is he talking about? Letterboxd.
You'd think I'd had something to drink before this, but I didn't. So you can find me all over the internet. If you want
the internet,
and you may not want
tea,
you may not want to find me on the internet tea. If you want to, you can.
Okay, Kristen, how can people find and follow Yo Ooh?
The easiest way to find me is on Twitter at KBForNow. That's KBFORNOW. You can find Film Score Monthly online at fsmonlinemag.com, also on Twitter at fsmonlinemag. Our May issue is currently out with Godzilla on the cover.
Case. So
we have an interview with Bear McCreary, in which he breaks down some of these motifs and how he worked with Elmer Bernstein in his early years and that sort of thing. So go check it out. It's pretty neat. We also have an interview with David Arnold of 1990s Godzilla fame, except this time it's about Good Omens, which is an excellent series on Amazon.
Nice. Is the score out? Did they release the score?
I don't know, but I have it.
No, it's like it's like the 90s David Arnold score from Godzilla, which no one has.
People have it.
I have that.
But all people I ever released was that soundtrack album with all the songs.
No.
Oh, now I'm upset.
Sure there was a promo. I'm pretty sure there was a promo.
There was. Of course, I didn't get the promo. Of course. No one gave me the promo.
No, they didn't. But they could give you a promo.
Stop.
If you want one of
just
those.
Just stop now.
You can find us on Twitter at Audio Soundcast, or send us your email talking about Godzilla King of the Monsters. Did you like it? Did you love it? Or did you not? What'd you think of Bear McCreary's score? Let us know at soundcast@trackzones.com, or leave us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe widget on our site, thesoundcast.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at C. Coleman. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Until our next episode, we want to tell you...
Go Bruins.
Yeah.
Go Warriors. Go Warriors.
Go Bruins, go Warriors. And...
Oh, my gosh, there it's happening.
It is, well, but is not. It? It's what?
It's, shall I it's give that away now? It's not what they say it is.
Sure. It's what?
It's not what they say it is.
Yeah. Oh. So you're, well, the whole end credits, they're showing all this stuff about something happening on Skull Island. They keep developing that. Okay. So there's all these newspaper articles that keep showing up talking about weird, mysterious things. And they're going into the hidden earth tunnel stuff. And they're doing all that. That's all the end credits. And then it goes dark and the theater lights come back up. And then they discover the head, the severed head of Ghidorah with some fishermen. And then the head of the terrorist guy, the guy.
Charles Dance.
Yes. The King Lannister dude. He's like, yeah, we'll take that. And then you're like, what? And then that ends.
How does that have to do with Kong?
Well, that's the thing. Because, see, this is my theory that I developed about 2 hours ago.
After that, they have a Godzilla War returning Godzilla versus Kong.
Right. That does say that.
Oh, they do one of those.
It does say that.
Okay.
But I think Kong and Godzilla are going to be knocking each other out, like fight, 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 fight. And then Ghidorah is going to come back. And they're going to be like, we must work together to get rid of Ghidorah. And then Kong won't die. And it'll be awesome.
I think you're right, because I didn't think either of them was going to die. And so the whole order makes no sense. Wouldn't it make sense that Godzilla King of Monsters would be the third out of three? I mean, you would do Kong, and but one of them would have to die. Kong would have to die, apparently. But I don't know. It just seems a little anticlimactic.
Poor Kong. Misunderstood.
I mean, Kong it's really beauty doesn't
kills
have a
the
chance.
Beast every time, Kristen.
Kong has, I mean, he's strong and can jump around, but just get blasted with laser breath.
And here's the cool thing. The same director from this film is directing that film. And he said, Kong Skull Island, he's a little kid. And in this, he is more mature.
What? He ain't no little kid in that thing. You should see how big he is.
But he's not very mature. I think maybe he's a teenager. Maybe he's going through some puberty. He's got some issues.
I don't know how maturity is going to stop laser breath.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Especially when he can just absorb radiation and become super duper powerful.
A nuclear bomb that comes back together.
Did he used to do that before? I don't remember him doing that in his other movies. That was a new, he upgraded on the
power
level.
He didn't like power up.
Yeah, I don't. He may have, but I don't recall that ever happening.
Long live the king.
I always thought it was radiation breath. So,
yeah, it something.
I've met people with that.
Yeah, you're right.
Same.
I guess it is. I don't know how it works, because it starts in his tail and then works up his back and comes out his mouth. I don't know how that works.
And I will say for all the listeners that I gave the movie 5 stars for the destruction of Fenway Park. It was a beautiful thing.
I flipped off the screen, on the other hand.
My daughter leaned over and she goes, his arm just went through the building in Copley Square. It's like, it did. Like, there's so many Boston landmarks. It's like, oh, that's gone.
They destroyed the Hancock.
Yeah.
I like Mothra lands on that round building and then it just like kind of crushes under a little bit. It's like, wow, there's not a building left in Boston. It's all gone.
Run to a non-existent residential area where you actually have a mailbox on the curb
that doesn't exist
in Boston. Where is that?
Well, the thing that cracks me is like everybody, whenever you do a Boston movie, right? Everyone lives in a brownstone. No, no one lives in brownstones
anymore. A brownstone near Fenway with a mailbox.
Yeah, that's called the Fens, and no one wants to live there except Berkeley students. I do have one nitpick about it though. Was can we all stop the time jumping? Like everybody warps to everywhere.
Well, of course.
But it's like we must go to Boston. Where are we? We're in Peru. We're there in 5 minutes. Yeah. How is that possible?
But we were just in China.
they could do it because they went through the Earth, right?
Yeah, but
they
were show up there. Like they like the we're going to get the Ghidorah to follow us to Boston.
The hollow Earth tubes.
And they like fly there and they take an hour.
It's like a bank.
This little tube.
The vacuum tube.
It didn't bother me for some reason because I think I was so bothered by everything else. I was just like, whatever gets this over faster.
You're like, good, tubes. Get there in 2 seconds. I love it.
Get the tubes and get it over with. Yes. All right. So Godzilla, King of Monsters, maybe not the king of the theater, but he is the king of the monsters, yep. At least
in the for earth another is hollow, few years. Not flat.
Hard to be both. Very hard to be both.